Well, we have been in this season of 21 days of prayer and fasting where, as I said, we put our calendars on hold, our schedules on hold, and we said, God, we're going to put you first at the beginning of this year. Before we really do anything else this year, we're going to have a set time of just seeking you with all of our heart. We're going to pray, and for many of us, we've been fasting. And here's the whole thing about fasting. Fasting is simply whenever you starve something in your life, that area will die. And whenever you feed something in your life, that area will grow. So we've been starving some areas of our flesh that honestly had needed to be starved out. Like there's some things in us that needed to die because they weren't healthy at all. And we've been feeding our spirit so that it could come to life at a whole new level. And one of the things that happens to you when you go through a fasting season is your body automatically goes through a detox. There's a detox. And a detox is when you remove toxic substances out of your life. And throughout this series, we looked at three areas of our life that we all have as human beings. There's the spirit part of us. Our spirit can get toxins that contaminate and pollute us. Then there's the soul part of our life, our soul. There's things like unforgiveness and bitterness that again, are toxic in our life and can eventually destroy us if we don't get those things out of our life. And then last week, we dealt with the body. And what we realized with the body is there's a lot more that can pollute your life than simply what you eat or what you ingest. There are other things in your body that can contaminate you. And so the 3 weeks we talked about, how do we get these toxic substances out of our life? And I would encourage you, if you missed any one of the first 3 weeks, go to the YouTube site, go to the webpage, the podcast on iTunes, listen, watch the first three messages. They are very foundational for the year that we're in. Well, the problem with detox, because the detox, again, has been wonderful. And I've heard great reports this whole month. Like I've heard people see breakthroughs in different areas of their life. I talked to someone the other day who had a spiritual breakthrough. They felt like through this season of prayer and fasting, they got closer to Jesus than they've ever been before, to a place that they really didn't even know was possible. I talked to somebody who had a breakthrough in their business. There was a deal that seemed impossible and seemed out of reach. And through this season of prayer, all of a sudden God opened some doors and some incredible things took place for them. We've seen some breakthroughs in relationships. People who have had damaged relationships, through this process, we've seen some restoration begin to take place. So it really has been an amazing season. But here's the problem with these detox series, these detox seasons, is you can't do it all the time. Like you can't live this way. Like you can't live without food. As great as I feel when I'm fasting, I can't fast year round. Like I wish I could because I've never felt so spiritually strong in my life and just so alive in every way, but I've got to eat again. I can't make it throughout the year without food. Now here's the thing. There are some things that we've gotten rid of through the detox that should never return to our life. Like there are some things you should never bring back into your life because you need to detox from those permanently. But there are other things that we do have to bring back. So we have to figure out, how do I go into maintenance mode and bring certain things back into my life but keep it under control? Like Krispy Kreme. How many know Krispy Kreme needs to come back into our life? But we just have to go on maintenance mode. I just have to realize that it's not all 12, four is enough. Like I can live off of four at a time. I mean, I don't need the whole box. And so we're learning to go into kind of maintenance mode. So today, what I want to talk about is let's talk about day 22 and beyond. Like we just finished this incredible 21-day season and so many people want to keep it going, but now we got to kind of go back out into the real world. So how do we live out day 22 and beyond? Because again, we can't do it every week, but there are things that we've learned and experienced that we need to learn how to maintain in our life. Paul says it like this in 1 Thessalonians, may the God of peace himself make you, I love that, entirely pure and devoted to God. And may your spirit and soul and body, that's what we just dealt with through this detox process. We detox some things that were contaminating our spirit, our soul, and body. So now that the detox is over, may they be kept strong and blameless. That's the goal. Like, how do I do that? How, now that I got some of this stuff out of my life, how do I stay strong? How do I keep myself? Because don't we all know people who detox certain things from their life? They found freedom in certain areas only to reintroduce stuff back into their life. Like, we all know people who made progress. We all know people who got some freedom and a different, maybe it was a vice or an addiction or a habit. And then all of a sudden, over a period of time, they begin to allow that thing back into their life and find themselves in the same situation all over again. So what we want to learn is, how do we keep ourselves strong? After the detox is over, after the 21 days of prayer and fasting is over, how do we maintain and how do we keep strong? And for how long? How long are we supposed to do this? Well, the answer is right here: until the day when the Lord Jesus comes back again. So again, we're talking about a new lifestyle. We're talking about a lifestyle change. We're talking about removing some things from our life and never letting them come back. So what I'm going to do today is not going to be as inspirational as the last few weeks. I'm just going to let you know up front. It's going to be very, very practical. And I actually like practical stuff. I want to give you something that's very doable, something that you can actually try. And here's my challenge. I want you to do another 21 days. Not the same 21 days, but I want you to take what we're going to talk about today, put it into practice for another 21 days. Why? So that you can keep what you have gained. You can keep what you have achieved. You can keep the area of life and the spiritual vibrancy that you've experienced. You can keep it strong in your life. So today we're going to talk about a leadership principle that John Maxwell teaches called the rule of five. Now, this is a business principle. This is for business people, career people, but I'm going to show you how to take the same principle, show you that it's actually in the Bible, and show you how to apply it to your life. And here's what the rule of five is. If you have a tree in your front yard and you want to get rid of that tree, like you want that tree out of your yard, you want it gone, you want it removed forever. If you will go out to that tree and you will grab an axe and you'll hit the tree five times, just five times, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then that's it, put the axe down. And then the next day, you go out to the same tree, and you grab the axe, and you hit the tree again 5 times, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And then the next day, you get up, and you go out to the same tree, and you hit the tree 5 times with the axe. And then the next day, you get up, and you go out to the same tree, and you hit the tree 5 times with the axe. How many of you know eventually the tree is going to what? It's going to fall. We're not talking about 10 swings of the axe. We're not talking about 20 or 50 swings of the axe. We're not talking about using the axe all day long. We're talking about 5 swings of the axe. Every day, consistently, eventually, we'll remove that tree from your yard. And so the principle is, it's better to do the right thing every day. Every day, than do the right thing just some of the time. This is all about being intentional. It's all about being consistent. And what you have to discover is, what is the tree in your life? Like, there's a tree in all of our life. It could be an unfulfilled dream, something that God put on your heart. What are you doing every day to achieve that dream? Could be a business idea. It could be any number of things that you're going after. The question is, what 5 things are you doing? Could be a book that you want to write. You don't have to write all day long. Just write a couple pages every day, and you'll see the book come to pass. Again, these aren't hard things. These are just things we do every day, and this is biblical. Solomon says in Proverbs 17, an intelligent person focuses at wise action. They're consistent. They're deliberate. They're intentional. They know what they're going after, and they focus on actions that produce those results. But a fool starts off in many directions. And again, there's so many people who wonder, why isn't my life changing? Why am I not? What are you aiming at? What are you being deliberate about? What are you being intentional about in your life? So let me warn you, this is going to be very, very simple today. But what I want to do is give you something that you can actually do, something that you can put to practice in your life. So here's the rule of five broken down. First is, you've got to be intentional. You got to be intentional about the 5 things. You got to live your life with a goal. You got to know what you want. The tree could be removing something out of your life that needs to be gone. The tree could be achieving something in your life. You got to be very intentional, and you got to be intentional about the process, which leads me to the second part, which is be practical. You've got to be practical. If I have a tree that I want to get rid of, I need an axe. If I grab a baseball bat and go hit that tree five times with a baseball bat, how many of you know nothing's going to happen to the trees? I'm just going to hurt my hands. See, here's the thing. Many people have great intentions and they got desire, but they don't have the right practices. They're not doing the right things to achieve what they really desire. The next is you got to be consistent. It's not any tree, it's the same tree. Meaning, find something in your life that's actually not that hard to do. It's honestly, it's pretty easy, and just be consistent about it. Five swings of the axe only takes a couple minutes. Again, it's not all day, it's just every day, and you will consistently chop away at that tree, and that tree will eventually be gone. There are things in our life that honestly only take a few minutes every day that have the biggest impact over a course of time, if we do them every day. And then lastly, expect results. You got to expect results. I pray this for you constantly. Every time I pick up the prayer cards, I pray expecting results. I pray expecting God to show up, expecting God to answer. If you hit that tree five times a day, every day, over a course of time, you can expect that tree to fall down. So here's the thought. If I did five things every day, not for a long time, just every day of my life, what five things would make my life better? You know, when I heard this rule of five, I began to work on my personal list, like looking at where do I want to be 30, 40 years down the road? What five things do I need to do every single day of my life to be where I want to be 30 years down the road? If I do them every day, again, not a long time, just every day, what are they? And I wrote out my list. My list is this. Number one, I'm going to study the Bible every day. Every day, I'm going to study the Bible. And for me, it's the first thing I do every day. So every morning I wake up, the first thing I do is I read the Bible and I learn something new. I ask God, God, teach me something new. I don't want to just read it. I want to learn it. I want to study it. I want to know it. Honestly, sometimes that takes me 4 minutes. To be very honest, sometimes I'll read it for an hour and study for an hour. Again, it's not all day, it's just every day. That includes Christmas, that includes my birthday, I read the Bible. I'm gonna do this every day of my life. Second, I'm gonna talk to God every day. I try to make it the first words out of my mouth every morning. I get up before my family, so the first words is, God, thank you for another day. Like, I'm gonna talk to God every day of my life. Number three, stay healthy. Now, I know I don't always look like I live by that, but at least I think about that one often. But I know that God's put a dream on my heart. I want to pastor this church the next 30 to 40 years of my life. So you're stuck with me. Like, I'm not going anywhere. But I know to pull that off, I've got to stay healthy. Like, I got to stay physically, and so I'm making changes in my life to really incorporate this. Every day I'm going to do something to stay healthy. Number four, I look at my family background. I'm going to love my wife every day. I don't want to end up like my family tree. Like, I'm going to do something to love my wife every day, every day. Like, I'll find, if it's just give her a hug or a kiss or bake dinner for her or you know, help clean up something around the house, I'm going to do something every day to love my wife. And then finally, the fifth thing is I'm going to be a good steward over my life. Like, I'm going to recognize that I'm a steward over everything God has given me. God has placed an 8-year-old boy into our home. He's not my son. He's God's son. God has just entrusted me with him for a season of time to steward his life for God. I'm not there to impose my will on him. I'm there to guide him to accomplish God's dream and God's plan for his life. I'm just a steward over the children that God has given me. I'm a steward over this church. I'm a steward over all my talents and my abilities. So every day, I'm trying to find a way to get wiser, to get smarter, to get better. So I read every day something that either has to do with parenting or has to do with church leadership. Every day I do this because I've got to constantly get wiser and get better if I'm going to live out my rule of five. Now, you got to figure out what your five are. What five things, if you did them consistently every day, would make the biggest difference in your life? So what I want to do is we leave this 21-day season, this season of detox and prayer and fasting, as we move to day 22 and beyond, I want to give you a rule of five list, especially for your spiritual life, designed for this very series. Because here's the thing, the most important five things you can do every day have to do with your spiritual life. They're directly related to your spiritual life. And I think all of us would agree that if I improve my spiritual life, every area of my life would improve. Because every one of us are on a, even an atheist is on a spiritual journey. We're all on a spiritual journey. So if I can improve my spiritual life, it'll impact every other area of my life. Let me show you this from Jesus. Jesus put it like this, seek first his kingdom. Now, I know a lot of things have your attention right now. I know a lot of things are on your mind. Some of you are trying to figure out how to, you know, set up your retirement. Some of you are trying to figure out how to make a vacation work. Some of you are trying to figure out how to get your kids in a certain school and pay the tuition. There are a lot of things right now that have your focus, that you're working on, that you're trying to accomplish in your life. But here's what Jesus says, seek first his kingdom. Seek first his kingdom, and everything else is going to fall into place. Everything else will come into light. Everything else will be better when you put him first. And this is so important to understand because we subtly will get thrown off track. I was meeting with my life group this last week. We're having our life after life reunion after the fall semester. And we're just talking about like what God did in us throughout the semester and how we learned. And one of our guys said, you know what? You know, he struggled with workaholism. And he said, you know what? I realize I need to slow down and I need to put my family first. Now, I understood what he was saying. And don't get me wrong. Our family is an absolute priority. Our family should be a priority in our life. But here's the thing. Our family should never be first. God is first in our life. We build our life. We build our family around our God. Because here's the danger of that philosophy. I've seen it and I've heard it a lot in Christianity. The danger is Satan will subtly use that to pull you away from God before you even notice what's happening. Because we begin to revolve our life around our family. And then all of a sudden, what was a priority to us isn't so much of a priority to us, and we begin to slack in things that are really important to God and begin to miss a Sunday here or there and then miss a month here or there. And then before we know it, it's been a long time since God's been at the center of our life. And I've even seen it play out to where, worst case scenario, parents are now getting divorced because they lost the glue. They lost the one thing that was holding them together because of their kids. And now what they did to actually love their kids is causing the biggest heartache and pain in their kids' life. Our family is a priority to us, but they're not first. God is first. Our life revolves around God. Our family revolves around God. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Like he's going to be first in my family. This is critical for us to understand. So let me give you this rule of five for day 22 and beyond. So I'm challenging you, do this for another 21 days, this rule of five, every day. Honestly, you should be doing these every day of your life because you'll see these in Scripture. You'll see this daily principle in every verse we're going to talk about. Here's number one, acknowledge and thank God. I'm going to do that every day. Every day, I'm going to acknowledge and I'm going to thank God. God, thank you for the air that I'm breathing right now. I wouldn't have this air without you. In fact, I wouldn't have the ability to breathe it without you. Every day is a gift from you, God. God, thank you. Do you know there is nothing more beautiful to the ears of God than gratitude? King David says, I will exalt you, my God, King. I will praise your name forever and ever, every day. Every day, this is a rule of five principle. I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. Get in the habit of doing this every day. Every day, good morning, Lord. Thank you. You're great, Lord. Lord, I love you. It reminds me of a king who had a friend. And the friend of this king, no matter what would happen in his life, he would always have the exact same response. This is good. This is good. If it was raining outside, this is good. If it was sunny, this is good. If he had a bad day, this is good. It was always, this is good. So one day, the king and his friend went hunting, and the friend loaded the king's gun, and the gun misfired and blew the king's thumb off. And the king looked at his friend, and his friend says to the king, "This is good." And the king says, "This is not good. This is bad." And got angry at his friend and had him thrown in prison. Well, about a year later, the king was on a hunt, and he got captured by cannibals. And when the cannibals were about to eat the king, they saw that he was missing his thumb. And being a superstitious group of people, they wouldn't eat anything that wasn't whole. They released the king and let him go. Well, the king began to think about his friend, and he felt so bad that his friend had been sitting in prison for over a year. And he goes to his friend, and he lets him out. He says, "I'm so sorry that I did that to you." And his friend says to the king, "This is good." And the king said, "How can you say it's good? You've lost a year of your life." He said, "Because if I wasn't in prison, I would have been with you." I mean, no, this is good. Can I tell you a secret? The secret to having everything in life is to believe that you already do. Just believe you already do. I was thinking about it this week when I was working on this message. I was thinking about this point, and God reminded me of my car. Now, let me be very honest. My car is not in anybody's top five wish list for their dream car. I'm just going to be very honest with you. Like, no one pulls up to my car and asks me questions about it. I mean, nobody is dreaming of driving my little black Kia. I mean, it's just not like anybody's, if I'm successful, I'm buying one of those. Nobody's ever said that about my car. And I'm human, so there's times where I'm driving and somebody will pull up next to me and it's a very nice car and I'll have that feeling inside, man, I would really like to have that car. I'd like to drive that car. That's a beautiful car. And I've trained myself to do something and it's not natural. You actually have to train yourself to do that. Anytime I find myself wanting, I just stop and I say, "You know what, God, thank you for my car. Thank you that I have a car. Like, I love my car, God. Thank you for this car. It's a great car. It's dependable. It runs. It's still on warranty. It's paid off. God, this is a great car for me to have." And what's happened over time, the more grateful I've become about my car, the more I love my car. Like, I actually like my car. I really do. I don't want to get rid of it because I've fallen in love with my car because I've learned to be grateful about my car. And here's what I've learned. Gratefulness creates contentment. You want to deal with the wanting in your life, like always wanting? Just be grateful for what you have. The more grateful you are, the more content you will be in life. Again, this is one swing of the axe. I'm going to acknowledge and thank God every day. Here's number two. I'm going to talk to God every day. I'm going to talk to him every day, every day. And I intentionally did not put the word pray or prayer because a lot of us get confused about prayer. We think it's like out of reach or unattainable or I don't know how do I pray? Easy, talk. That's all you do. You talk. You talk to God. Prayer is not a formal, ceremonial thing. It's not memorizing all the right words. Prayer is just a conversation. David says, "Praise be to the Lord, to God our Savior, who daily, every day," again, every one of these is going to have a rule of five in it, "daily bears our burdens." God just wants to hear what's on your heart. What's on your heart today? Oh, I see you're struggling with that anxiety. Talk to me about it. Let's talk about it. Oh, I see that you have this challenge at work. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. I want to carry that burden with you. I want to see prayer is actually weakness. Prayer is admitting that I don't have all the answers. I don't have this thing figured out. I need a higher power. And here's the beauty. God's weakness is stronger than my greatest strength. So I would rather lean on his weakness because his weakness can accomplish more than all of my strength can do. So I encourage you, keep this handout sheet handy. Put it in your bathroom, your nightstand. Put it somewhere you'll see it every day. Practice this rule of five. Here's the way Jesus did it. If you study Jesus in the New Testament, Jesus always had a certain time. He had a certain time. Jesus could pray any time of the day, and we can pray any time of the day. But having a certain time, there's something special to having a certain time in your life, a time that you know every day I'm going to meet with God at this time. Like, this is an important meeting. Put it in your calendar, even if it's 5 minutes. Again, not all day, just every day. Just 5 minutes in your calendar, a certain time. David said it like this, in the morning. In the morning, that was his certain time. Oh, Lord, you hear my voice. I'm talking to you, God. You're listening to me. In the morning, I lay my requests before you and wait in expectation. A certain time. Jesus had a certain place. He could pray anywhere, but there were certain places that had significance to him. We see that in Mark. Very early in the morning, again, you see the certain time in Jesus' life. While it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went out to a solitary place. Now, do you know why Mark put this tiny detail that really doesn't matter a whole lot into the Bible? Because this place had meaning to Jesus. There was something significant about that place to Jesus. Or Mark would have just wrote, Jesus got up early in the morning and went out to pray. But he included a detail because for some reason that detail mattered. It mattered. There was a place that Jesus found was special. My place is actually my car. Like, I love praying in my car. I'll go drive down to the beach and I'll just sit up on one of the bluffs and look out at the ocean. I love to just sit in my car and pray. I love to go up to one of the hills in the area and look at the valleys and just sit in my car and pray. That's my special place. We all need a place. It could be your office or your literal closet at home or your backyard. It could be walking on the beach. But there's something meaningful about having a place. And then lastly, a certain plan. A plan. The disciples came to Jesus and said, teach us how to pray. And Jesus said to them, when you pray, say. And then he gave them this beautiful outline, this beautiful prayer, the Lord's Prayer. And let me just help you understand, the Lord's Prayer was never intended for you to memorize and recite to God. We're not parrots. That wasn't the purpose of the Lord's Prayer. Jesus was a rabbi. Rabbis taught in outlines. He gave us an outline. And if you'll break apart the outline of the Lord's Prayer and just spend 2 to 3 minutes on each of the 7 points in the outline, you'll have one of the most meaningful times of 30, 40 minutes of prayer. Time will go by. Like a lot of us, we pray and within 3 minutes, we run out of words. Like I've said, everything I know to say right now, God, like I have nothing left. That's why we need a plan. And so I would encourage you, many of you pick these up during the 21 days. If you do not have one, we have one of these for every person in our church, everyone that attends our church, whether you're a member or not, pick up one today. These are our prayer guides. The Lord's Prayer outline is actually in this book. All you got to do is read the point and then spend 2 to 3 minutes praying over what it just described. It describes what that point means, and then you pray over it. And you'll discover some of the most meaningful. See, a lot of people would pray if they knew how. We want to help you pray. That's why we provide these resources for you. So pick one up. Very, very powerful. Second swing of the axe, I'm going to talk to God. Here's the third swing of the axe. I'm going to read and submit. Read and submit to God's word. Look, I'm not going to change the Bible to fit my lifestyle. I'm going to change my lifestyle to fit the Bible. We have to be very careful in the culture that we live in where we want to reinterpret the Bible to what we've decided is socially acceptable. I don't interpret the Bible. I read it and I submit to it. Isaiah says it like this, the grass withers and the flowers fall, meaning generations come, generations go. What we think is socially acceptable comes and what we think is socially acceptable goes. But the word of our God endures forever. Like it stands the test of time. So we read it and we submit. Joshua says, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. Again, every day, day and night, rule of five principle. Meditate. This word meditate in Hebrew, it's the word for a cow chewing the cud. If you've ever looked at cows in a field, they eat some grass, they chew on it for a while, they ingest it into their stomach, then they bring it right back up into their mouth. Completely disgusting. They chew on it some more. They ingest it in their stomach. They bring it back up. They chew on it some more. And they'll do this all day. Why? They want to get every ounce of nutrients out of the grass. Well, this is what it's saying. Chew the cud of the Bible day and night. Like meditate on it. Get all the nutrients out of God's word. Why? So that you may be careful to submit, to do everything written in it. And here's the promise. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Here's what's so beautiful about it. Put it to the test. Like, don't accept my word for it. Go try it. Go try it and see if that's not going to come true. And I guarantee you that'll be true in your life. David goes on to say it like this in Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked or stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates. There's that word again, day and night, every day, every day, every day. And here's the result. He, the person who meditates on God's word day and night, is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does, prospers. Whatever he does, prospers. Put it to the test. Try it. I love the one-year Bible for this. It's just a great prayer outline. You can get it on our website for how to read a little bit of God's word every day, every day. Again, not all day, every day. Put it to the test. Here's number four. Maintain meaningful relationships. Maintain meaningful relationships. And I know some of you don't like this, but your spiritual growth is directly connected to God's people. Like a lot of you think, no, just me and Jesus will figure this thing out. No, you and Jesus aren't going to figure it out. He rigged a different system. He rigged it where you need God's people to be everything God wants you to be. You look, you may not like it, but this is God's plan. I can't be the husband God wants me to be without godly men in my life sharpening me, helping me grow, making me better. This is why we are so passionate about small groups in our church, why we talk about small groups constantly, because you need God's people in your life to truly become everything God wants you to become. Let me show it to you in Hebrews. But encourage one another daily as long as it's called today. All right, Pastor, I got you right there. That says daily, small groups meet weekly. Yes, you're right. Small groups do meet weekly. But here's the thing. Small groups are not a meeting. Small groups have a meeting. Small groups actually happen every day. Let me illustrate it like this. My family is not a dinner. My family has a dinner. My family is every day. Like, I'm a father, right? Even though my son's not here, I'm a father right now. So I'm family constantly, but my family has a dinner. Small groups have a meeting, but small groups happen all the time. And if you've ever been a part of a healthy small group, you know this to be true. I talk to people in our small groups all the time. They get text messages daily from people in their group. Hey, praying for you today. They reach out. They call someone. Hey, I had a rough day at work. Can you pray for me? Can you talk to me? I need some help. Can you and we need that in our life. Again, I need that in my life. I have those people in my life that I can reach out to and call anytime I'm about to go over an edge, and they can talk me off of the cliff. They can talk me back and say, listen, it's going to be all right. You're going to be okay. And there's an iron sharpens iron that takes place. So why is it so important? Why does this matter so much? Well, it says it right there. Here's the reason these relationships matter, so that you won't go back to all the stuff you just detoxed. Like, you just spent time detoxing some stuff out of your life that should never come back. Some things that are very unhealthy, that are very damaging to your spirit, and to your body, and to your soul. So we don't want to go back. We don't want to be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. So we got to maintain relationships daily, encourage one another. And I've heard this testimony consistently now in our church. People say, well, I began this journey. I convinced myself that I could figure this out in isolation. Like, I could, me and Jesus could deal with these issues. But I heard it enough where I finally took a step of faith and I joined a small group. And through that process of getting to know people and learning to trust, I took a mask off, and now I'm seeing change in my life. I'm experiencing freedom in areas I never thought possible. So we are not a church of weekend services. We are actually a church of groups. And I believe church should be large. And the reason church should be large is because heaven and hell is real. But I also believe every church has to be small. We can be large and small at the same time. We've got to stay a small church. There's got to be a group in our church where you can experience small church, a place where everybody knows your name and everybody's glad you came. You need that in our church. And this is an event with a lot of people. That doesn't happen on the weekend. That happens in groups. I'm telling you, this rule of five will change your life. And this is a spiritual rule of five. This is for every believer. Every believer. Take these swings of the axe. And here's the fifth one. First is, I'm going to acknowledge and thank God every day. I'm going to talk to God every day. I'm going to read and submit to his word every day. I'm going to maintain the important relationships in my life with God's people every day. And finally, I'm going to surrender my life to God. Daily, I'm going to surrender myself to Him. I'm going to say, God, not what I want to do today, what you want. Not my will, but thy will be done. Paul said it like this, I die every day. Every day. This is rule of five. I got to do this every day. Every day I wake up, God, you know my anger is going to want to flare up today. So I give you my anger. I give it to you. I surrender to you, Lord. God, you know there's going to be some things that I want to do today that really you're not too pleased with. They don't line up with your will for my life. So God, I just surrender to those things right now. I'm not going to do those things. Lord, I die to that. I die to that. God, you know that I'm going to be struggling with some anxiety today. And so right now, I just give you that anxiety. I just surrender. I'm going to die to it, Lord. I'm not going to let it run my life or control my life, God. I'm going to surrender. I'm going to die to myself every day. And Jesus taught this one. In Luke chapter 9, then Jesus said to them all, if anyone wants to come after me, like if you want to follow Jesus, you've got to deny yourself, take up your cross daily. Daily, every day. Every day you've got to do this and follow me. And I'm telling you, if you'll put this rule of five, the spiritual rule of five, to practice in your life, you're going to see results. You're going to experience something that's going to be powerful. I want the best for you as your pastor. I do. And inevitably, when I say that to certain people, they'll come to me and they'll say, yeah, but, and then they'll attach some circumstance to it. Can I tell you, if you attach circumstances to your happiness, I mean, good luck. I mean, that's just not going to work out for you. I'm telling you, if you'll do these five things every day, this rule of five, regardless of your circumstances, I promise you, it won't matter what your circumstances are saying. You're going to experience God. Doesn't mean you're going to have a perfect life, but it means you're going to have a fulfilled life. Every day, God, I just acknowledge you. I just thank you. Everything I have comes from you, God. Thank you for this day that I get to live for you. Talk to him every day. God, here's what's going on today. God, I'm dealing with some depression, some anxiety. Let me just tell you about it. Just talk to him about it. He wants to carry your burdens daily. Daily. Read and submit to his word every day. Again, not all day, just every day. Take a few minutes if you have to and just read and submit to his word. Maintain the right relationships. You need God's people in your life. You need that iron sharpened iron. If you're going to be the husband you want to be, the wife you want to be, the parent you want to be, the business person, you need God's people to sharpen you in your life. And then every day, you've got to die to yourself. Every day, you've got to pick up your cross daily and follow him. God, I surrender to you. I surrender my day to your day. God, I have a will for today. There's things that I want to do, but I don't want to do what I want to do. I want to do what you want me to do. I want to do your will today. I'm telling you, it'll change your life. It'll change your life. This is how we live day 22 and beyond. This is how we keep what we've achieved, like many of us have arrived at a level of freedom through this detox process, through this fasting process. We want to keep strong. We want to keep that intact. This is how you do it. Would you close your eyes with me for just a moment? Before we leave today, let me say one thing. None of this works without Jesus. None of it. This is not good psychology. It's not self-help. It's not here's how you become a better person or better family man or whatever. It's none of that. These are supernatural principles that only work with the power of God in your life. When God is at the center of your life, his spirit can flow in you, giving you the ability to do these. And so for some of you, the first step for you today is you need to invite God to be the center of your life. You need to give complete control of your life to God. Total control of your life to him. Just completely surrender. That's in fact what salvation is. Christianity isn't going to a church. Christianity is giving your life to God. It's giving total control of everything you are to him. For some of you today, It'll be the first time you've ever done this. First time you've ever said, God, I'm going to give you total control of my life today. I give it to you. And then for some of you, you're coming back home. And you understand that. It's been a long time since God was the center of your life for whatever reason. It just doesn't describe the way you live right now. And for you, you know you've got to renew that commitment to him. You've got to bring him back to the center of your life. And what I'd like to do is lead you in a very simple prayer of doing this. A very simple prayer of just inviting God to take control of our life. And here's the thing, you don't have to stand up to do this prayer. You don't have to walk anywhere to do this prayer. You don't even have to pray this prayer out loud. This is just your heart praying to God, your heart talking to God. God will respond to your heart today. And you know who you are because from the moment this service began, God began stirring in your heart. God began stirring in your heart. And yes, you have a little of the fear of the unknown, of what am I getting myself into, but you absolutely know this is the right decision. You feel that in your heart right now. You feel like, I need to do this. This is the right decision for my life. It's just a little stirring, a tugging at your heart that you feel right now. That's God. That's God who desperately wants to be a part of your life. And here's the thing about God. God does not want to be your religion. He wants to be your father. Religion is man-made. Jesus didn't die to start a religion. He died so that we could have relationship with the Father. He died to remove religion from being in the way of God. He wanted us to be able to access his Father directly. That's the purpose of his death. And so I'm inviting you now to give your life completely to God today, either for the first time or for those of you that need to renew that commitment to him today. So with every eye closed out of respect, just so I know who's praying with me today, would you very quickly just raise your hand and then put it right back down so I know who's praying with me today? Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I appreciate those hands. Thank you. Thank you. Here's the prayer. In your heart, I want you to say this to him. Say, Jesus, today I give you my life. Take complete control over me. Forgive me of the sin that separated me from you. And finally, thank you for forgiving me. And thank you that you will never hold my past against me. In Jesus' name, amen.